Hey, the Active family. Today I have an absolute treat for you. Today I talked to Andy from 169 Films. Now, what makes this episode so special is I feel like on a lot of wedding filmmaking podcasts, we spend so much time listening to the veterans of people who have been doing this for 10 plus years and have it all figured out, even though we all know they don't truly have it all figured out. But I think what that can create in us is a bit of an echo chamber, especially for people who are just starting out, who feel like the advice is great, but it's so disconnected from where they are at currently. So Andy is incredible. His story just blows my mind. He is married, he has two kids, and he's a full-time pastor. And he just started wedding filmmaking less than 2 years ago. And just in that short amount of time, he went from $0 to $4,500 for a wedding. His very first year, he booked 5 weddings, and last year he was at 18 weddings. Now, this is unheard of. This is a crazy story, all while managing family life with his kiddos, as well as being a full-time pastor. He has his seminary degree, and I just wanted to bring him on to get into the weeds of what does it look to properly manage a part-time job, being a wedding filmmaker, and a full-time job. Should you actually quit your full-time job? And how to actually find joy in your work? We talk about how to actually, like, what is the key to finding joy in work that you don't actually have joy in? We talk about our faith. We talk about specifically his faith in God and how it weaves into every aspect of what he does. And even if you're not a person of faith, we talk about how you can utilize those techniques and those things that he's learned in his own life to massively improve your business as a wedding filmmaker. We even talk about a couple secret weapons that, oh my goodness, the wedding filmmaker community does not talk about these things that if you focus on them, it will make 2023 a game changer for you. So there's so many things about this conversation that I love. It's just very much in the weeds. It's like, hey, here is a new person who is having so much success. What can we learn? And it's going to be so relatable for people who are just starting out, as well as for veterans or more intermediate people. We oftentimes forget the scrappiness that comes with that first year or two of business. And we get so just comfortable in our ways that it's so good to remind ourselves what it's like to be starting out. And I can guarantee you that regardless of where you're at, beginner to advanced, you're going to get something game-changing in this episode. So right before I want to get into it, though, I do want to say that our Profitable Filmmaker course, the Profitable Filmmaker course, is live. It is officially live. And Andy actually took it, and through taking the course, he was able to quadruple his prices. He talks a lot about it near the end of the podcast. So definitely, if you're interested, check out his review of that in this podcast. And for those of you who don't know, the Profitable Filmmaker course is my course to have the step-by-step system. It is how to make $100,000 a year as a wedding filmmaker in any market, in any location, and any economy. And I go over everything. I mean, this is really the course I wish I had when I was starting out. I go over sales, I go over marketing, I go over profitability, I go over human psychology. That is something I'm so passionate about, and how to use human psychology in every aspect of your business to make your brand irresistible, so that when a couple is trying to decide between you and filmmaker B, C, E, or D, you become the obvious choice. They have to have you. I talk about how to create a brand, how to create a voice, how to create an image that makes couples think of you even when they're going to sleep, because we have to, even though we can't afford this, maybe they can't, they have to find a way to have you because something about your brand is that different. And that's really the heart of the course, and all structured to get you to that $100,000 a year as a wedding filmmaker. I have a whole accountability workbook, so that way every single week, every single month, you know exactly what you're doing and where you're at progress-wise to stay on track to get to 100K a year. I talk about accounting. I talk about productivity. I talk about structuring your weeks, your months, your years. I talk about ads, Facebook ads, social media, just everything. No rock is left unturned. And what's so important to me is I feel like a course is fantastic, but also having me alongside of you as you get stuck or even have questions, or as you make certain changes in your business, like, hey, David, I was watching the course and then I updated my website, or I started doing this new thing in my films. I think it's so important to have me right there alongside with you, helping you make tweaks as you go through the course content. So that's why this course has really a never before done mentorship component. I just launched it on this new platform we built specifically for mentorship. And I'm going to be plugged in there every day, reviewing your films, reviewing your social media, reviewing your website. We're going to have multiple coaching calls where they're going to be long, they're going to be in depth, they're not going to just be Q&A sessions. They're going to be where it's you and a small group of other students, where we're all working together on your website, your films, helping you get unstuck. So where you have the course content and a whole mentorship component where I am there with you, like in the trenches with you, making sure that you succeed in your business. So if any of that sounds interesting to you and you want to make that your goal in this upcoming year to hit that 100K mark and really just get your business running on all cylinders and in such a way, because really my heart is not to just give you a 100K business, although that is the surface goal. I want to give you a business that you are proud of, that is allowing your personal life to thrive and that you're happy going into work every single day, that it's helping you fulfill your financial goals, but not only that, your personal life goals for rest, fulfillment, peace, and freedom. Because who wants a business that makes a lot of money, but they're a slave to? That's the complete opposite of this course. So if you're interested, the link for that course will be below. Enrollment is only going to be open for the next 7-ish days. And after that, the enrollment period will close. And the reason I do that is because with this high-level mentorship component as a part of the course, I really want to make sure that we keep space limited so that way I can serve as many people as possible in that mentorship component of the community. And yeah, so if you're interested, definitely act fast, take a look at it, enroll while you can. And in that link in the show notes below, if you click on it, I will be on live chat, like literally on the right-hand corner of the screen on the Profitable Filmmaker webpage. Click that button. There will be a little chat bubble. I will be there. It's me. It's not some robot. It's not some random person who is acting as me. It's me in the flesh. So if you want to talk with me, if you have any questions about the course, if you just want to chat, I will be there. So definitely check that out. Now, without further ado, let's get into today's episode. All right, man. So just stoked to have you here. And I know for a lot of people who are listening to the podcast, they are in the exact same place that you're in, where they have this passion, started as a hobby, and then they weren't able to just make it full time. And for a lot of people, they stay there for a while, kind of being in between doing this as a hobby part time and also having a full time job. And so I just kind of want to get into the weeds of what it's like. I know you're a pastor. I know you started as a hobby. Now it's kind of getting more serious. And I kind of want you to just take me through that journey, because I think as filmmakers, or I know as filmmakers, that a lot of people starting out and in the season that you're in feel like there's no one who is like them. There's no one they can talk to. There's no one they can relate with. All they see are these veterans who have been doing it for 12 plus years. And like, that's awesome. That's where I want to be. But like, it's not where I'm at right now. And I know for the veterans, oftentimes people like me and other people, we forget what it's like to be in those beginning phases. And I think it can just create lots of empathy for like, okay, this is where a lot of people are and how can we come alongside and just build and grow. So yeah, just take me into that journey. Where did filmmaking start? And how are you balancing all this? And just, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's a great question. So I started my business probably about 2.5 years ago. I remember prior to that, my wife and I went on a trip. We went on an anniversary trip. We saved up enough money to go on this amazing trip of our lifetime. We went to Barcelona for a few days. I'm a big soccer fan, so it's like going there is perfect for us. And just seeing the architecture and everything. So I remember when we're about to go, I asked myself, do I want to go to Barcelona and carry my iPhone, or do I want a better camera? And so that was when I kind of, you know, started researching, and I bought my first camera. It was a Sony A7 III at that time. I thought it was super awesome to not only be able to get some cool pictures, but also videos, which, you know, I love doing. So I've always sort of played around with cameras before. I remember I had an old DSLR a long time ago. It's a Nikon 5100, one of those. Just taking pictures, doing some videos here and there, short videos. So a lot of times when I went on mission trip and stuff like that, you know, I would bring and do some PowerPoint videos over with music and stuff like
super
that.
Super high tech.
So, yeah, I love playing with that, you know, playing with iMovie and things like that. So I enjoy all of that. And so when we went to Barcelona, it was eye-opening for us. We're able to spend time just with us. It's been hard for us not to be able to get away because we have two boys and so and I have commitment with church too, so it's hard, but we're able to get away for that 5 days. That was awesome. And so as we were there, we're just soaking up all the cool architecture, the beauty of the place, and I started just recording and filming. Yeah, I didn't know what I was going to do with those footage anyway, but I just love to have them. And so I started shooting and thought, this is pretty fun, you know. So once I got back home, continued to dive into it as well a little more, just trying to play around more with the camera now that I have it. And I bought myself a gimbal, started walking around my backyard and just filming stuff with my kids.
That's when game over started. You get the gimbal and you're like, this is my life forever.
It's like, what is this contraption? This is awesome. You know, it follows you. And so that was fun. And I did all of that. And I remember there's a couple in my church. They are great friends of ours and they're getting married. And I thought, you know, hey, what if I shoot your wedding for free? And they were like, sure.
And so you just knew about them getting married and you just like walked up and said, hey.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I love to film your wedding. You know, is it possible? I mean, at that point in time, I kind of have a bit of an idea about how to film a wedding a little because I remember after that I took this course, full-time filmmaker, like a basic course, just, you know, going through it. And I learned a bit from Jake Weisler. And so just trying to understand the ins and outs of shooting a wedding and filming a wedding, I thought this would be cool. I mean, I kind of like being in a wedding, you know. And so I asked for an opportunity to shoot the wedding, and they say, yeah, you know. And I told them I'll shoot it for free. They said, no, we would not want you to shoot a wedding for free. So in the end, they paid me like $1,000, which was awesome, you know.
But that's like, not typically the story. People are like, oh, yeah, I'm actually going to charge you money to shoot my wedding because I'm not sure if it's going to turn out good. Wow, they paid you $1,000. That's crazy.
They paid me $1,000 to shoot a wedding, and I was like, this is so awesome. But I remember going into that wedding, and prior to that, I actually kind of second shoot for a good friend who's also in the videography business, but he does more commercial work. And so I have a bit of experience, but so I went into that for the first time, you know, doing this on my own. And I remember, wow, this is hard, but at the same time, I love it. You know, after filming that wedding, I'm like, you know what? I really like doing this. And so I got to shoot this friend of mine. I got to shoot her sister's wedding too in the next few months, and I was able to charge actually for that.
What did you charge for that second wedding?
I charged $2,400.
Oh my gosh, you just have no shame. You're just like $10,000, second wedding.
Well, at that point in time, I think, I remember that her sister's wedding was in October, so I was kind of started my business at that point in time after I shot this couple friend of mine. They were in the summer, and so at that point in time, I've started my website. I've kind of established myself a little more, but I don't have a lot of portfolio other than her wedding and the other wedding.
I think that's so cool though. Like, I just wanted to make a quick comment on that because so many people are like, hey, I can't charge any money until I get this whole portfolio together, until I have at least 6 films on my website. I'm just going to charge $500. I'm going to do it for free for a whole year. Which, nothing necessarily wrong with that, but I think you just prove that you do one film really good is really all you need. And you just say, hey, there's nothing to lose. I'm starting out. Why not just say $2,500, $3,500? And just like, why not? And people booked it. That's amazing.
Yeah, I did that. And, you know, she was a little hesitant. Her sister was a little hesitant at that point in time. Like, they're trying to figure it out. You know, obviously, she saw me at the wedding and filming and stuff like that. So, and I also told her, like, I'm starting out, obviously, so I am, you know, trying to build a portfolio. And the fact that I told her that I work for a church full time, right? And so she was like, huh, I actually want to help support this guy. And so in the end, she went with me. I'm like, okay, that's awesome.
Wow. It's kind of interesting because I think a lot of people are scared to be like, oh, I'm just starting out. They don't want to appear like unprofessional. But it seems like you just being honest actually might have helped you get the booking.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, having that personal connection too with the sister, that helps too. But I mean, that was cool. You know, I did her wedding in October, a sister's wedding in October, and I felt like, man, that was even better than what I did before. And that just sort of confirms my journey a lot, you know, as I continue to shoot more. And I realized that, yeah, you know, it's hard work, but at the same time, I love it. I love everything about the wedding industry, the beauty of it. You know, I'm really drawn to aesthetics, like the beauty of the aesthetics of wedding planning. Just, you know, everything is pretty and beautiful. I love the joy as well, that there's just a lot of fun in there. And so I think all this confirms my niche very quickly. You know, I think I've had friends who are like, I will never shoot a wedding because it's just so much more work. You know, everything is run and gun. It's unplanned. You can plan, but still there's a lot of things that are kind of out of your control. And so they only want to do commercial work. And I was like, okay, that's awesome. I mean, for me, I just...
You're like, more work for me.
I know, it's more work for me having to plan all this stuff. But I love the being in the moment and just let's figure it out kind of thing. You know, troubleshoot. Let's see if something happens.
Yeah, dude. I love that so much. You know, I resonate with that too. I tried dipping into commercial work for a little bit and I love it because I'm a control freak and I like to like control everything. But like at a wedding, obviously you can't do that, but there's a special beauty in the kind of in-between moments, the things that aren't planned. And I just love marriage, and it never gets old seeing two people who are genuinely in love with each other, like excited to get married and all the family and the party. Like, what other job ends with a full-on dance party at the end of every day?
Yes, exactly.
It's like,
exactly.
It's pretty cool. And then what I'm curious of, because like you literally fell into this. It wasn't, you know, I've always had this passion for filmmaking since I was 10 years old. Like, it was a trip to Barcelona. You bought a camera, and most people wouldn't even think about, oh, I go to Barcelona, I get a camera, this is kind of fun. Oh, I'm going to charge for this work. like just the sheer audacity and courage, and just, I'm sure you don't see it that way, but that's super cool. So that was 2 or so years ago, and how many weddings have you done since that first free one?
So in 2021 was the first year I started my business. So it's the first time I shot the wedding as well. I have about, I think altogether, like 4 or 5 weddings in 2021. There's a small little micro Catholic wedding that I did too, mostly just for the ceremony, basically. So I think at 4 or 5. But last year, 2022, I have, I think, close to... I lost count. I think probably 18 weddings, I think.
Oh, my.
So that was crazy. Okay. Just, you know, from that. Yeah. And that was like my first full year trying to manage the business, trying to figure out, like, you know, how in the world am I going to do this on a regular basis? Like, also, like, a lot of Saturdays that I have to miss, or the Fridays that I have to miss, being with my family, basically. And I think my wife and I, we kind of talk about what this will look like. You know, because I have to be at church on Sunday, right? So I cannot miss that. And so I don't normally like to take a Sunday wedding if possible, unless it's like a bit later or whatever, you know, after church, if I can't do that. Of course, there are days that, you know, if I may take a vacation week or so, I could still shoot a wedding if I need to.
That's crazy. 4 to 5 to 18, and now you're like balancing full-time assistant pastor at a church and like this budding wedding business. Like, kind of bring me into that thought process, because a lot of people are working a full or part-time job that is not wedding filmmaking. And like, how do you practically, in a step-by-step way, on a week-by-week way, balance it? Like, how do you get your edits in? How do you talk to your wife about like the time that you need to do these things? And like, what's the end goal? Like, how do you justify doing these two really hard jobs? Yeah, just bring me into that.
So obviously, you know, this whole thing started out as a hobby slash, you know, fun, and then getting more serious into it. Now I feel like I really like doing it. I feel it's life-giving for me. It's a source of income as well for my family and I. And I think balancing it, last year was a lot of figuring things out, right? You know, I never expect to have like 18 weddings or so, and then just trying to manage the weekends and church, family. So it was a lot of trial and error figuring things out, but my wife is incredibly gracious too. She knows that this is what I'm passionate about doing as well, and on top of working at a church, and so she gave me a lot of freedom, and so she is the rock star there. And so this year, I think we are more, I'm more intentional to trying to figure out, like, making sure that, you know, there are months where it's busier than others. So, like, right now, things are not as crazy. No one normally gets married, like, in the beginning of the year kind of thing. So I'm more around more often at home and try to, you know, spend more time there with the family and help around. And then also kind of slowly build her up, trying to let her know, making sure that our calendars kind of sync up. A lot of times we have this Apple calendar that we sync everything there so that everyone can see and make sure that there's no surprises out there. So we sync that up. And on the Saturdays or Fridays that I'm working, that I'm filming, I'll make sure that, you know, the Sundays that I'm working at a church and after church, I get to spend some time with the kids, or maybe during the weeknights. And then, of course, outside of those times, you know, I have to figure out when to edit as well. So,
right. That's my big question is, like, because I'm kind of following, okay, yeah, Monday through Friday, you work, you know, full day. And then on the weekends that you have weddings, you kind of talk with your wife. And that all seems very hard, but still understandable. But then my big question is, like, editing is just the hardest part of this whole job. And, like, when do you edit? Like,
in my sleep. Okay.
Yeah. I wish. No, yeah, just tell me that secret.
Yeah. So I think editing in the beginning was hard, just trying to figure out how to put in a cohesive story, right? You know, you've got all these different ways of trying to edit it, whether you want to edit more in a sequential timeline, or you want to, you know, kind of do it more in a story narrative or a documentary style or whatever. For me, it was just trying to nail down what I resonate with. And so it took a few trial and error trying to figure out how to edit how I want it to be. And I would say over time it gets easier. And I think a lot of it has to do with the course that I took. this is not a plug-in, but, you know, certainly I felt like Craft 5K helped me a lot, just trying to understand how to really edit, you know, edit based on a story. I like my style is generally more intentional, more narrative, and I love a lot of vowels, a lot of audio. I like slower pace as well. So a lot of times just trying to figure out, like, where the climax is, right? And then from there, I know the climax generally happens around the pronouncement of the husband and wife at the ceremony. And so from there, you kind of work around it, basically. So it got a little easier for me. So most of the time, to answer your question, I spend my evenings, after I put the kids down for bed. They go to bed around, like, 7:30, 8 o'clock, you know, I spend a couple of hours edit and try to make my way. And then some days I'll try to edit on my off day. So I work Monday to Thursday at the church, and then Sunday. So sometimes I do have to do stuff for the church on Saturday as well. So it depends. So Friday is like my off day generally. And I try to, you know, edit a little more in the evenings. Most of the time my edit happens in the evening when my kids are asleep, because it's probably the easiest. Because even though I'm off during Friday, because they are homeschooled, so they're always around, and it's going to be hard to edit.
That's crazy. And how, like,
yep.
Yeah, I mean, I would be the same way. Evening would be the only time. And then how do you specifically talk to your wife about that? Because I'm just thinking of, like, her, because if you're editing, you're working, and then you play with the kids, and then you're editing, and then you do it all over again. Like, how do you... And you may not have it all figured out, and that's okay. It's just, like, a curious question of, like, how do you intentionally, because I know a lot of people are in the same spot where it's like, okay, I have it manageable in terms of where like things are getting done, where I have a full time and I'm doing this on the side, but like they have a spouse where they're not really sure like how to go about that relationship while they're also working on this. Like, how do you talk with her about these responsibilities you have? How does she feel about it? Like,
yeah. So, you know, we have this understanding a lot of times that we don't have like, sometimes, obviously it depends on the season, right? When things are a little more busier, then it will be a little more crazier, chaotic. And so during those seasons, there are times where we want to make sure that, you know, we won't probably have a lot of time, like just sitting down for the whole day and just talk and hang out kind of thing. But we want to make sure that we have face-to-face time, you know, whether we're eating or we're putting the kids down together, or sometimes she will sit in my office and we'll eat together, or she'll eat and we'll just kind of talk a little, process through a little. And yeah, we try to find like small chunks of time in the day. And also a lot of times in my church job, I work from home too. We don't have an office at the church, so there's some FaceTime there as well. Sometimes I'll head to the coffee shop to work, but there are times where, you know, we are around. So, hey, can you go and make sure that the kids are fed too during lunch or whatnot? I can still assist in some of those. So we'll have some FaceTime, but during seasons where it's not as busy, definitely, you know, we'll hang out a little more, like, you know, go on date night or just have more time together, you know, hang out together more.
So it just seems like being intentional and communicating, probably over communicating, like, hey, this is why I'm doing this. This is where we're at. Like, I know that's huge because, I mean, for those of you that have been following for a while, like, I used to be married and the whole stuff happened. And I think that was a big thing that I would do differently, is just making sure that, because wedding filmmaking is all consuming. It's fun and it's almost hard when you have a fun job because it's easy to neglect some of your other responsibilities that are more important, like marriage and your kids. And I know, like, if people are listening to this now, it's just like you said, Andy, it's about not just going into a hard season, assuming the other person knows what it's going to be like in that hard season, because you're like, oh, we talked about it. Like, I mentioned that it was a hard season and they understand, but rather sitting down and saying, hey, this is what I'm actually going to do on a week to week basis to make sure that, you know, you're prioritized, the kids are prioritized, or even friends and family, being like, even simple things, like you said, of sitting down for lunch and having a meal together and having like questions that aren't just like, oh, how was your day? But like, hey, how are you doing? Like, how can I help with the kids? How much longer are we going to be in the kind of like stressful zone? And then identify, hey, we're doing this for the purpose of like it not always being this way, like with an end of sight, I think is so important.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good way to put it. And so I know a lot of what we're experiencing right now is because, you know, it's still an early stage for us trying to figure things out. And of course, also looking at this business, you know, what is the, not to see an end goal, but at least what is the vision of it? What am I going to do? Am I going to remain status quo as it is? Or is there a change coming up and things like that? So just trying to think through all of that. I think at some point in time, things will probably be a little more different, you know, depending on what direction I go with. And so, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think you'll, like, is the end goal to do wedding filmmaking full time or always keep it as a like side hustle and then continuing to do pastoral work? Because I know you have, like, you went to seminary, you got the degree for church work, for pastoring, and now you have this business that's probably like set up to make more money than what you're doing now. So how are you processing that? Is that, do you plan on eventually making a decision for one versus the other?
That's a good point, because I know in all your work and things like that, you want to make sure that you have some sort of vision. You know, I've thought a bit about it, a lot more about it recently. And I think that for a lot of people, you know, it's hard when you think about job, you think about grinding through your work because you don't enjoy it. You don't love your work and you're trying to get out of it as soon as possible. You're just trying to figure out how in the world am I going to transition, right? For me, the hard part is that I love both things that I do. And I love working at a church. I love the aspects of wedding filmmaking. And so it's a little harder trying to think through that. But at the same time, I also understand that at some point in time, you know, I'll have to tweak and make some adjustment there for my own personal sanity, for my kids' sanity, yeah, for my family, basically, too. And so I am thinking more seriously about trying to go full-time with my job, sorry, with wedding filmmaking sometime, I don't know, maybe within a year or so. And then, but at the same time, I still love the aspects of working in the church. So I may transition in more of a part-time, I don't know, I'm trying, I guess, whatever part-time looks like, or maybe like less hours with the church, maybe. So there's some thoughts there as well. So I'm trying to figure all that out.
Yeah, no, I love that. I think like for the longest time, the dialogue was, oh, if you're going to transition to full-time wedding filmmaking, it has to be like all or nothing. You have to jump ship with whatever you're doing and just go all in, because that's the only way you're going to succeed, to have your full attention on this thing. But as I talk to more people, as I just see kind of where the world's at and where wedding filmmaking is at, I think the slow and steady approach is so much better. And even having like, I think a lot of people view, oh, if I have any type of other work besides wedding filmmaking, then I'm not full-time and therefore I failed being like reaching for my goal. But I think there's like a beauty, like you said, because a lot of people may really enjoy their job and also wedding filmmaking. And I think the ideal transition pattern would be, hey, try to make wedding filmmaking more and more percentage of your time. But I think there's so much wisdom in still keeping another part-time job that provides life. And it almost, in my opinion, makes you more creative because you're able to turn off your brain, focus on something else, then come back to the edit that you're working on or your business. And it provides that cushion, because I think for me, I never had a part-time job. And I think that really hurt me in the first 5 years of my business because I was so reliant on all the income coming from weddings that like I had to take every single job. If it was a wedding I hated or didn't really want to do, I had to, because I had to make rent. Versus if I had something I was doing that I enjoyed 1 or 2 days a week, I'd be like, oh, okay, I have like rent covered and maybe, you know, some food covered. I think the reason why, you could correct me if I'm wrong, but the reason why you were probably able to grow so fast and be so courageous and confident in just being like $2,500 was because it didn't matter to you. Like you were getting paid at your current job, right?
Right, right.
That kind of is my follow-up question. Like what do you think is giving you, because you've moved just so quick in 2 years to 4 weddings to 18, from $0 to $2,500, $3,500, $4,500. What is giving you that confidence to just make such crazy jumps in your business?
That's a good question. Certainly, I think for me, having a full-time job as sort of that cushion definitely helps, you know, gives me, like you say, a lot of courage to go out there and start this other venture and this other business. It also gives me a lot of, I would say, financial income in some sense to be able to invest in gear. Because I know, like, you know, people who are starting out from scratch, a lot of times, like, you know, they spend money on gear according to what they can afford, right? Or how much they earn from the previous wedding. So they kind of have a slower step of building. For me, that wasn't the case. I was able to kind of quickly invest in a lot of gears that I need for the wedding from the beginning. Obviously, there's a lot of sacrifice there.
Because everything you made at the wedding,
right,
you didn't need for food or rent or anything.
Right, I don't need gear. Yeah, exactly. So I was able to invest, like last year, I was able to invest pretty much everything that I've earned into the wedding.
With no regrets.
With no regrets. And the fact that, I mean, I didn't expect how incredibly crazy the investment is in this whole industry when you want to start a business. You need to think about, yeah, you know, I want a camera, and then you've got to figure out a lens, you got to figure
and
out
you got to buy eight.
Exactly, and then SD cards, mic, sound, and everything. And so at the end of the day, it becomes really expensive, but yet, you know, knowing that, you know, I was telling myself, like, okay, if I can just put as much as I can into this business so that, like, this year, you know, I don't have to invest in anything. And of course, education is also a big thing. I'm a big proponent of educating myself, investing in myself through education, because I think that's crucial too. So I want to take all that opportunity to do all of that in my so-called first full year, right? And then this coming year and the following year from in the next few years from now, I don't have to invest as much in the gear. And so having a full-time job helps a lot with that cushion. I mean, sure, I would love to be able to save up a lot of the money that we that I earned from last year for the family, but hopefully it will be this year, right? I think that's the hope.
Your wife's like, I thought this was like a side hustle and you're making all this money for us. And you're just walking by with like five gimbals.
I know. Like, I'm like, yeah, there's more lights.
Yeah. Like, where'd all the money go, honey? And you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, you got another camera. It's free.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Yeah, she's been great. She's been really supportive. No, she never really asked about the money and stuff like that, the aspects of it. She just wants to see me grow in this industry and enjoy, you know, the passion that I have. And so I love that.
I kind of want to talk about that. I think that's so cool because I mean, just think having that supportive partner is everything, in especially when you're a small business.
Yeah.
And like for people that are listening to this that aren't married, I think that's wasn't a tangent I was planning to go on, but like that's something to really look for in whoever your future partner is. I don't think they have to, because a lot of people are like, oh, I need to marry someone who's also in the business with me, because we see so many examples of couples doing it together. And while that's not a bad idea, I think almost a more powerful thing that I've seen play out really well is when you just, that partner isn't in the business, but is so supportive. Because running a small business is impossible at times. And you go through crazy good highs, but then really bad lows. And when you have like kids in the mix, just having someone there who's like, hey, I'm for you. Like, I'm on your side. I may not understand the whole inner workings of the tech or the art, because I know there's some people who think, oh, I'm kind of discouraged that my partner isn't like XYZ company and they're not into the art. They're not into the tech. They're not like wanting to do this with me. And I would just encourage, if that's you listening to that, I actually think it might even be better that way, to where you can kind of distance yourself from, you can have your business and then you can come back to your partner who has all that energy to kind of dream and build something separate. But like, yeah, if you are single right now, just finding a person, it's more important to find someone who is encouraging and passionate about whatever it is you're doing than someone who's just going to be a fellow filmmaker or like super into the arts or going to like plug into your business, as you can kind of see it with Andy, as they're still in the beginning stages. I think that's amazing.
That is amazing. She is the rock star and holding everything together, you know, for everything that I do, definitely.
And she doesn't touch a single camera yet. She's the backbone of everything.
She has not. She has not.
Dude, I love that. I love that. And my other question, because I know, I mean, you went to seminary and now you're working at a church and now you're doing weddings. Like, how does your faith and your relationship with God like work into the art that you create? Like, do you feel like your faith influences why you're drawn to art, why you're drawn to certain things, the stories you kind of tell? Me being a Christian as well, I'm just always curious talking to other Christians about how they integrate their faith with their work.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's super crucial for me that my faith definitely plays a big factor in all that I do, how I, you know, parent, how I view marriage, how I do work, basically. I think work is a big component for me. I think I always understand that, but I think it was recently, you know, within the last few years, I've learned a lot more about appreciating what I'm doing, not just from the church standpoint, but also from this side hustle, this business that I'm doing. Because a lot of times people are wondering, like, so you're a pastor and you are also a wedding filmmaker? How does that all work, you know? It's not like the most, how do you connect that? And so a lot of people were amazed. They also puzzled, you know, how does that all work? And for me, I think it's important regardless of what you do, because my faith has taught me that, you know, we are created for work. We are all created for work. Without work, our life is simply meaningless, because God has given us this ability to do what we do. And so work is important. At the same time, there's also dignity in work. Whatever work that you do, sometimes we like to categorize one as more spiritual than the other, but in my faith, in my understanding as a Christian, all work is spiritual. All work is important.
And when you say your faith, you're referencing from the Bible.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so as a Christian believer, I believe that all our work is crucial for the Lord. And so it is spiritual in every aspect because we're serving God with it. So you can be a doctor, you can be a filmmaker, you can be a pastor. They are all important in the Lord's eyes. And so that sort of helped me pivot myself as a wedding filmmaker. Like, you know, if I'm going to be a wedding filmmaker, how can I serve God? And I serve God by serving the people that I'm filming, you know. So that means that I'm going to try to do everything I can to serve this couple well, to make sure that they have the best time. If I'm going to edit, I'm going to try to be the best editor that I can to do the best that I can for them. And so I think one of the biggest things for me as I think about all this is to be competent in what you do. So as a Christian, I think you can do everything that God has called you to do, but you want to do it with competence, basically. You want to do it well for the people that you're serving or for your family or for yourself, basically. So that sort of shapes me. And so I love wedding because, you know, I get to not only film weddings, but also to celebrate with the people who are there, to enjoy with them, to support them, to cheer them on. And so that's the best part about it. And I feel like that's what God has created us to do, to do our best in whatever that we do. And so that has sort of shaped me and a lot in my faith and how I think about work as a whole, not just working from church, but also working in whatever aspects.
Dude, I love that so much. And I think you kind of hit the nail on the head of a lot of people view work as something that they have to do until they retire someday. And granted, there's a fair assessment in that because a lot of people have jobs that are hard, that aren't ideal, they aren't doing what their dream job is. But then we tend to throw the baby out with the bathwater saying, I have a hard job, therefore all work is bad. And, you know, I just need to grit my teeth and get to the other side until I can retire one day. But I love what you said, because from a biblical standpoint, work was created to give us meaning and purpose and actually provide great joy. And that's one reason workaholism is even a thing, is because it's an addiction, and any addiction has an aspect of like happiness and joy and fulfillment that you get from it. And an addiction is usually something that should be in moderation, taken to the extreme, making it like the ultimate. And I think as wedding filmmakers and as business owners, we need to first realize, hey, what we're doing is actually in service to others, because once we have that switch changed, we can then get so much more fulfillment in anything that we're doing because it's for another person. And what I love so much is that everything we're talking about doesn't just sit in this esoteric faith realm where a lot of people might be listening and like, hey, that's cool for you guys, but I'm not like a person of faith or I'm not a Christian or things like that. But what I love is like everything that the Bible teaches, you know, also is echoed in studies that people do. I mean, there's been numerous studies shown that when someone is not working quickly, very quickly, depression sets in, anxiety, unfulfillment. And the minute you take someone, of course, I completely understand that there's chemical things that cause depression and anxiety, and those need to be dealt with in separate ways. But for a lot of people, just simply giving them a job that's connected to serving others, there's been tons of studies done about this, regardless of the pay of that job, they get into it and over months, almost in weeks, their entire life changes because there's this like innate desire for every human to enjoy their work and to do it in service of others. And so I just love that we're kind of like talking about this, because it can be so easy in the scope of business to get stuck in, oh, this is hard, and kind of take your mind off. This is something I get to do rather than something I have to do.
Right. And I think this is super important. I think a lot of wedding filmmakers who are more experienced, you know, they will talk about this as well. I think just knowing your purpose and why you are doing this, I think that's important. For me, my purpose, and I hope 10 years from now, it will still be my purpose, basically, you know, that I'm in the business of bringing joy to people. And I think this is so important. I remember I recently I was looking at some of these big companies and their brands, right? I remember Coca-Cola, one of the tagline used to be open happiness. I'm like, man, this is genius. You know, when you open a can of Coke, you know, you're opening happiness, right? And then Disney talks about, Disney theme park, they talk about this being the happiest place on earth. I'm like, wow, everyone is tapping into this happiness, this joy thing. And I feel like for a wedding filmmaker, this is also, why shouldn't it be yes? Because we are creating something that hopefully will be timeless, right? Something that would speaks into people's lives down the road, that they would be able to see it, view it, and still be able to put a smile on themselves, to be able to experience all the joy before and also now. And so I love that we're in a business of creating joy for people, and it's great to be paid to do it, but at the same time, you know, a lot of times I think about what brings me joy when I do this. It's being able to see, you know, your work from the beginning till the end, how it comes together, and seeing the product that you deliver, bringing so much excitement, so much appreciation and joy to people, or even for anyone else who watches it, right? You know, I've had a bride recently who came to me because she was really drawn to what I did for another person. You know, she didn't know that person at all. And so she loved that, what I've produced. And so I was really appreciative of that. I think that speaks a lot to what we do, right? We want to be appreciated. We want to bring joy to people. And so, and as a result that, you know, we want people to really love what we do. And so, and we love what we do. And so that's crucial.
Dude, I love that focus on joy. I like it. It just really had like a light bulb moment in my mind, because we talk often about, hey, we should serve others, we should make the best quality films for our clients. But I don't know why, but just the way you phrased it hasn't been talked about on the podcast, or I've heard from others, is something so simple as we're here to deliver joy, to make you feel happiness, to make you feel fulfillment through the work that we do. And I think, like, as I'm just listening to this, oh man, how would our edits and our business looked if we viewed everything through that lens? Like, how can I choose the style of my filmmaking, choose my cameras, choose my web design in order to spark the most joy? I'm getting all Marie Kondo on everyone here, but like,
no. And, I think that's important. Yeah,
in order to spark the most joy, because I'm just kind of having like an epiphany, because you could be, say, like, of course, there's nuance in this because you have your own personal things that you think are beautiful and aesthetic and et cetera, et cetera. But when you're looking on Instagram, it can be so easy to get caught up in the comparison and all the different talented filmmakers and trendy styles of like, oh, I need to do that, or I need to do this, or I need to do this over here. And all of a sudden we start to create a brand that's less about bringing joy to other people, but solely only about bringing joy to ourselves. And without knowing it, we create a selfish brand that could even be successful, but you may not actually, because if your whole brand is about what is cool to me only, you may be successful, but I don't think you're going to have that joy, because in my opinion, true joy comes from serving others. And so if you can identify, this is what I love and I do want a style that's based on this, but trying to find other people who also have similar things and saying, okay, in this edit, I may in my own filmmaker brain not want to maybe include that one shot of the parents or blah, 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 because it's like, I want this to be artistically perfect. But like, if I change my thinking to, is my style still intact if the shot is in here? Probably. But how, like, what's going to make them the happiest, not just when I deliver this film, but 30 years from now with their kids? And I think then the comparison completely falls off and you're just focused on, the only battle I'm trying to win is with my couple, and I don't care what other filmmakers think. And people always remember not what they paid for the service, but how they made them, how that service made them feel. And if you make them feel seen, heard, and full of joy, you could have a style that's still growing. You could be at the beginning of your business, and those referrals, you'll be able to charge whatever, because they're like, this person made me feel seen, heard, taken care of, and gave me something truly worth remembering. People won't care if you're 10% less talented than the filmmaker next door.
Exactly. Exactly. I think that's really true and right. And I think it sort of also eliminates that imposter syndrome, right? We try to compare ourselves to other people. If we do is to focus on what our bride wants, right? How to bring the most joy to them, how to make them feel heard, seen, how to fulfill their vision. That's all that matters at the end. And that, as you said, kind of shapes you in what you do, you know, how you edit, what kind of gear you buy, you know, how to improve yourselves. You know, I love all of that because I think, you know, the more I invest in myself, the more I can bring this out to other people. And the more I put myself in some of these situations, maybe it's not as pleasant, or maybe there's a bit of a learning curve and things like that where you kind of push yourself, you know, the more I can fulfill this for my bride. And so that's crucial.
And it almost becomes like, I found I'm the happiest when I'm outside of my comfort zone and actually have to work harder than normal to help someone who I'm not used to helping. Like, it's always hard mentally to think about doing it. But after it's done, you have way more joy than when you started. So I'm like, man, what would it look like if we became an industry that didn't just think about what's in it for me, but thought about everyone as a potential pathway to joy and actually chasing the most joy for ourselves through serving others in like over and beyond ways. And I just think that's so cool. And then I know, because you talked a lot about, you've been doing this 2 years and the value of education and how that's played such a pivotal role along with just having that full-time job to make the necessary gear jumps and be where you're at today. And I know for those of people that are listening, I know you took the Profitable Filmmaker course like a year ago or 6 or 7 months ago. And right now, actually, that course is live. It's dropping on this podcast. It might have been out for a couple days. But I know there's a lot of people curious to hear from firsthand experience of people who have been in the course, if it's something that they should consider. And I know you've had really cool wins from some of the things in the course. And I was just curious if you could share kind of some of the transformations that you've had through going through it, because I think it'd be helpful for people.
Yeah, definitely. So I've done the Craft 5K course first, and then I've done the Profitable Filmmaker course too. And they're different courses, which, you know, it's helpful, but yet they are, they complement each other well. And so I love that. And I think the Profitable Filmmaker, trying to pronounce it correctly sometimes,
it's all right.
I get excited about it. It's a incredible course because I think a lot of times you think about filmmaking, you know, you think about crafting and honing your skill as an editor, as a filmmaker. You want to make sure you get all the angles right, your compositions right, your color right, and all the stuff. Those are great. But with this other course, it's focusing more on how to run the business, right? And that's something that I obviously have no clue on how to do so. I mean, I'm like trying to figure things out. Sure, you can go to YouTube and try to learn a lot of stuff there. I'm sure you can find some really helpful stuff. But for me, you know, in my mentality and just, you know, the season of life where I'm in, I feel like, you know, why try to search for all these things out there when you have a course that's been tried, right? And that's been tested, that people who have gone ahead of you, who have done this course, who have produced this course for you, who have seen success in it, why not take that opportunity to learn where everything is there instead of trying to go out there and just search for yourself? So, you know, I have that sort of mentality, and I feel like this will definitely help me to take my business to the next stage, or, you know, to keep growing and pushing myself better. And so that was crucial for me to learn a lot of aspects of the business side. I mean, there are things in there that I've never thought of. You know, I've had a full-time job where I don't ever think about saving for tax. Like, why do I need that? Because it's taken out from my salary. So, and then just to think about, okay, now you are setting up a business for yourself. You have to put aside money for tax. You have to, you know, invest and things like that. Those are, you know, it sounds silly, but I think it's super important. You know, think about all these things. You know, how do you run your business well? Communication, I think that's super important too. How do you talk to people? And what I love most, I think you talk a lot about this as well, in the course too, is human psychology, right? How do you run a business? A lot of times it's very similar to how you do a lot of things, because you're trying to tap into human psychology. What makes people buy a product? It's not because, you know, a lot of times we think, okay, people, if you want something, you're going to come up with whatever ways possible to get that thing. Sometimes unethical ways, right?
Right.
And hopefully that's not the case with what we're trying to do here. But the fact is that, you know, you're trying to create something that's so irresistible that people are going to want to come to you. You know, you're not trying to beg people to hire you, but you're simply trying to create something and stand out so that people will come to you. And when they see what you're charging, sure, it may be a little more out of their budget, but yet the fact that they really have this desire wanting you because of your personality, because of your work, because you are such a great person that they can talk with, and they're going to do their best to seek you out. And so I think that that was super important for me because, you know, I don't want to be a slave to this whole business where, you know, I'm trying to get every single dime. I'm trying to beg people to hire me. You know, I want people to appreciate me. I want people to come to me. You know, I want people to see my work and know that that this is what I can offer them. And so I think that course had helped change my perspective and just trying to think through all of these things from that perspective, you know, that I'm not a slave to my business. I don't want ever to be a slave to my business.
Dude, I love that so much because that's really like my heart is, hey, it's cool to say, hey, here's a step-by-step plan to get to 100,000 a year to make your business profitable. But like, if you get there and your life is a mess, it's not really a win. And so like my whole heart with the course is, and the mentorship component that comes alongside of it is like, I want to help you succeed profitability because obviously that opens up a lot of avenues. But my deeper heart is I want you to love what you do. I want you to have space to be able to do things personal wise that you wouldn't be able to do if you were a slave to your business, because I don't think it's ever a win to have a successful business, but then have a, you know, family that you never see or friends that you never get to spend time with. And so that's really the heart of the course is let's build a business that lets you not just thrive business wise, but like personally and life wise. And that's life giving. So I love that you said that. And then I also know for you, you had some like pretty significant pricing jumps, right? Through after going through the course.
Definitely. So, I mean, obviously, you know, my first wedding, I told you, was $1,000 that I got. Not because I charged it, but because it was given to me. So that was great. I love that. And then
if
I think
we could
my
all just
second,
get free money, that'd be great.
Right, exactly. And then my second wedding was that 2,400 range. You know, I did some research just trying to figure out, like, you know, what is a competitive rate at that point in time when I was starting out, or people within sort of my skill set, and just trying to compare work and see what people charge. And so I came up to about, I think around like 2,400 as a base price there in North Carolina. I think it's a good startup price for me and comparatively seeing what others are doing too. And of course, there's also the change of mindset, you know, after taking some of these courses, is just to understand that, you know, you can't remain at where you are all the time. I think there's value in increasing your price, not because you just want more money, but because as you grow, as you invest in yourself, you know, the quality of your work is going to get better. And so you can't remain status quo. And at some point in time, when you also realize, you know, who you are trying to serve, that's also important. We all talk about wanting to find an ideal client. And for me, that's the thing too. Obviously, in the beginning, it was a little harder, you know, but as you get more and more into it, it becomes clearer. So one of the reasons why I raised my price too is to attract a different sort of clients that I wanted. So I jumped from 2,400 to I think 3,000, and then the past few months, from October of last year, I started raising it to starting at four grand. And the reason why I do that has to do with there are a few factors. So I obviously wanted to attract a different sort of client. So trying to raise it to 4,000 base. But at the same time, I've also been sort of seeing some of the clients that have booked me. You know, they have wanted more than just what I have on my base package. And so they have started adding things here and there. Eventually it came to four grand, five grand. And so I began to realize that, oh, maybe I can break that barrier of 3,000 or just go beyond that. And I remember one couple came to me. She said that I've looked through a lot of stuff and there's this company that wanted to charge me $6,000. I'm like, I can't afford $6,000. And then I look at your stuff. Hey, your stuff is not very far from his stuff. And you're only charging $3,000. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go with you. So this was like a year ago. And I'm like, It made me realize that, okay, if my clients are telling me that I'm charging too little, maybe I need to start increasing my price.
I've had that happen too, where it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I should increase this. This is crazy. And then that's so rad. And it was through like the profitable filmmaker and the sales process and things like that that gave you the confidence to get to that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And to realize too, like you said in the course too, you know, you want to find your ideal client, you want to build yourself up, you want to be confident in what you do. And as long as you put in the effort, you know, the investment and the effort in what you do, it's going to stand out. Your work's going to stand out. Your character's going to stand out. You may not be the best filmmaker in the world, perhaps, you know, but you, if you are a great person to work with, you're an irresistible person to work with. Your vendors are going to notice. Your bride will notice it, and she will recommend to other people too. So you want to tap into all of that, and that's how you can continue to increase your price, you know, making yourself more and more irresistible to the people around you. And so I feel like that was crucial for me, just trying to understand the whole pricing. And at the same time too, you know, I find myself there are certain, as you learn through it, there are certain brides that you don't ever want to work with, you know, certain weddings that you don't ever want to shoot again. And so increasing that price kind of helps too sometimes, right? You kind of filter away people that you don't really want to work with. Not because it's bad for you, not because they are bad, but it's just because like there's a price for everyone. There's a wedding for everyone. So maybe it's not for you. So you just have to realize who you are, you know, what sort of a target audience that you're looking forward to, and pivot from there. And so that definitely makes sense when I think about that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love what you said about being an irresistible person, because that is truly a secret weapon, that once you have that, everything else really falls into place, because there are very few, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, there's probably not a lot of people that you know in your life that just have that magnetic quality about them, or other than your best friends. But like when you think about your best friends, you wouldn't replace them with someone else, because there's only one of that person who is your best friend. And I think if we can cultivate that in our wedding businesses, of thinking about, yes, the marketing, the branding, the sales portion, all important things. But if we introduce ourselves into the business and really our heart, then we're able to truly differentiate ourselves, because we become that person that just that couple has to have on their wedding day. I kind of want to talk about that a little bit, because we talked before this conversation about, you were saying, oh, I'm definitely more of an introvert, and introducing my personality into my business was not natural for me. And how have you introduced more of yourself into your business and overcome that hurdle of, that's just, you're not used to being in front of the camera? Like, why did you get in the front of the camera? Because I know a lot of people, they hear all this stuff about, yeah, putting yourself out there on social media, on your website, but they're like, I can't, I'm introverted.
Well, I have a lot of practice working for my church.
That's true.
So yeah, I am definitely, my personality, I'm more introverted. You know, I need to recharge after a while. But at the same time, I think it's weird. You know, I'm an introvert that likes to be around people, not necessarily engaging in every conversation, but just like the ambient noise. Sometimes one way for me to recharge myself is to go to Target and just walk around.
Confessions on the podcast.
Have all the noises around me. That's right. And all the noise around me, because that's all I want. You know, I just want to walk around, be myself. And it's okay that there are people around. It's not a problem for me. But I think the big thing for me is, you know, it didn't come naturally, that's for sure. But having a place to sort of practice that at my church, that helps a lot. So I meet with a lot of people. And at the same time, to kind of know your strength too, right? So I enjoy meeting with people, but I don't enjoy a big group setting as much, kind of thing, where everyone is just talking all over each other, kind of thing. I like more intentional meetings, one-on-one. And so that is my sweet spot. And I feel like I can do a lot of that more than just having one big meeting to another big meeting. So I get lost in that a lot of times. I kind of withdraw myself. And so knowing some of your strengths would help too, what makes it easier. And a lot of times too, I think, you know, if you have a partner, if you have a spouse, have your spouse jump into a conversation too, because I think, you know, if you are working as a husband and wife team, that definitely helps a lot. You know, someone who may...
can like fill in that gap if you're not, yeah.
Right, fill in that gap, exactly. So we kind of push each other in different ways, support each other. We all have different strengths and gifts. So, you know, if you have a second shooter that you shoot with a lot of times, maybe you can invite that person too, if it's a friend, you know, just, yeah.
Interesting. I never thought of that. Like, yeah, if you are more introverted, maybe considering hiring a second shooter who may not be, like, you can handle most of the incredible shots, RC things, but the second shooter is more like to take the stress out of the overarching extroversion. And you're like, hey, you're more like the front person and you talk to everyone and you help me during the ceremony and speeches. That's actually a really good idea.
Yeah. So I just feel like, you know, you want to know your limit. You don't know what is something that you're not good at, and then try to solve that problem by having another person with you, or perhaps maybe there's certain things that you need to push yourself, right? And as you continue to do more, you can. And so take steps, you know, to grow towards that. You know, what does that look like? I hate being in front of a camera, but a lot of times I feel like in this side of business, I do sometimes have to. So I have to continuously push myself, prepare myself as much as possible, right? So you want to take some of those steps. Some people can walk into the camera and talk naturally. I can't. So I need to write a script. I need to rehearse. I need to look at a teleprompter or whatnot. So,
but you recently just did do that, right? You made like
an
about video that was like, this is me, I'm Andy. This is what my company is about. It got posted on your about page on your website, which I always advocate people to do. I think that is a ease. Like if you're listening to this podcast and you're looking for like a quick hack that will increase your bookings. I mean, who isn't looking for that? An about video where you're in front of the camera telling people, this is who I am, this is what my business is about, this is why I do weddings, is a game changer. And I've recommended that to a lot of people in my profitable filmmaker community and various other like private mentorships. And Andy actually did it, but I love how he talks about it because he's like, I didn't want to do it. It took me a million takes. And I'm just curious, Andy, like, what was your thought process in doing it? And then what are the results that you've seen just feedback that you've gotten from people?
So I didn't want to do it. I always know, as you said in the course, you know, it's important to do it. So I want to do it. But at the same time, you know, sometimes out of just tiredness, lazy, or just prep, having to put so much effort into it, you know, is it worth it kind of thing? You know, I felt like, okay, let's just bite the bullet and do it. And so I remember having to do it over a few days just because trying to find the right lighting, trying to find the right time, and also trying to find a time where it's the most quiet too, where my kids are not running around. And so, yeah, and you can ask my wife, yeah, there was a lot of take that I had to do. And for something so short, but I felt like, you know, it was great at the end, you know, just doing it. And I've got a lot of feedback as I posted it on my Instagram, I posted it on my website. I've got a lot of feedback, you know, a lot of vendors saw it too. And they, you know, they love it because I think it brings out your personality too. A lot of times when they are able to see and hear who you are rather than just read through your portfolio, which is nice, right? But there's that aspect sometimes that before they get to talk to you personally, they get to see this video of you in action or you talking and, you know, what you're passionate about. Just be able to read your body language too. I think that is really helpful to see. It sort of puts people at ease too. And I've had a lot of the vendor friends who've reached out and it's like, this is awesome, you know, keep doing it. And I was like, oh yeah, keep doing it. Sure.
And you probably had no idea that you'd get such a positive reception. You thought, oh, I'm just going to do this because I heard it could be cool, but you didn't think it would be so immediate of people just being like, this is great.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you even watched the video and you're like, ah, it's not my best. Like I pulled something out, but like there's some parts that I'm like, oh, I'm not a fan of how I said that or whatever. But then to see other people just say, this is fantastic. It's probably crazy.
Yeah. I was like, okay. I mean, it's like one of my most liked videos on my Instagram. I mean, obviously there's some other wedding videos that people have liked, but on a personal level, like, you know, people who like those videos are people that I know, you know, and my followers. Like, it's one of the most liked videos among my followers. And I was like, wow, that's awesome.
And I think it's such a psychology thing because, like, I know there's this, it's so cool to look at, like, I'm obsessed with psychology and it's really cool to see how people interact specifically in, like, a dating app world because that is such a good test pool for how people can form connections quickly Because if you think about going on a date with a stranger, especially as a woman, could be one of the scariest things ever. So like, what does this app have to show you in order to give you the confidence to purchase, in a sense, a date with someone? And I think we can learn so much from dating apps that can translate into purchasing any product. Because in a similar way, a $4,000, $5,000, $10,000 wedding film is one of the biggest purchases a couple will ever make and can be akin to going on a first date. It's like that high stakes. And I just think it's so fascinating because a couple years ago, most of the dating apps were prompts and photos. And all these apps obviously are thinking about how can we improve these numbers, get people better dates. And they introduce voice prompts where you can like say something about yourself and someone who's looking at your profile can hear your voice. And that just adding a voice to essentially your website improved people's first dates in terms of people like actually going on the date astronomically. And then they added video where you could have video and you could see the person, their mannerisms and their voice. And the people who actually had videos on their profiles got like 50 times more dates. They got quicker dates and all the things like that. And so that social psychology plays into all aspects of life. And so we could take that study and it works the same exact way for wedding filmmaking. I know for me, the minute I started including that or telling other people to include that, it makes your phone calls better. You get more bookings. It's like a magic hack that's really hard to get over. But when you do it, life changing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. Yeah.
That's important. So I'm glad we touched on that. And if you're listening to it, just do it. You won't regret it. No matter how awkward you are, just put something up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, some people may be drawn to your quirkiness, right?
Exactly.
Like it.
Exactly. Yeah. And you do it once, you put it up, you get the good response, and you redo it every year. You know, it's not forever. You can replace that video.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love that. And then kind of to close things out, because I know, for me anyways, in the first couple of years of business, when you don't know what you're doing, that's where you make a lot of the funny, like embarrassing mistakes and bad choices. Those make for the best stories. And so I'm just curious, like what mistakes have you made starting so fresh out? What do you wish you could have done differently as just a good hang for fellow wedding filmmakers to listen to? Any horror stories, any funny things?
Yeah. There are quite a few, you know. From my side, I think one very crucial thing that I've learned very quickly is to make sure you test out your gear before you go on a shoot. It's all this joy of buying new gears, having the latest stuff, and then because you've never tested it out, you bring it to the field and you use it for the first time in a wedding and you're trying to finagle. It's like, okay, where is this button? Where's that button? Or where's the record button? So that was terrible, just trying to finagle through to new gears before testing it out. So that was a horror story. And a few times that I remember trying to capture audio, I did not. I forgot to capture audio at the right time. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. And so, because I couldn't figure out how to handle the Zoom recorder at that time, like, where's that button? How do I go from here to there? So it's one of those things that, yeah, it's something that I've learned very quickly to not do. Make sure that if you're buying a new gear, you know, test it out beforehand, have a few trial runs on your own, at least, you know, to be familiar with what you do.
So you don't show up and you're like, oh shoot, I don't know how to press record on this
exactly.
thing. Like, this is not happening. Wow. Have you had any like other things happen?
Well, yeah, that's one thing that happened, like, from my own mistakes. But there are a few other things, too. Like, there's some horror stories of some of the weddings that I've shot. In this last year, I've shot a wedding during a hurricane where we lost power during the toast, I think. So it was pitch black.
What?
And it was delayed. And then, the owner had to come in and bring a generator to start it back up kind of thing. So that was, like, crazy. It's one of those things that it's beyond your control, right?
That's why you guys got to have battery-powered lights.
Battery-powered
lights,
yep, and everything like that. So actually, I did, and so I was able to bring some light.
Oh, you were
light.
Probably like the savior.
I was the savior there. I was able to bring in some light while they weighed, and so that was good. And then I had a wedding where it was so hot that one of the groomsmen collapsed during the vow session. So I was like, okay, should I keep continue recording or not?
It's the wedding day, you know, you got to be prepared for anything.
Exactly. And so in the end, you know, we had to cut short the wedding. I didn't really get a lot of footage. And so that was like really terrible. It's like, I don't know what to do with that other than like, that's something that I am not planned for. Don't know what to do with that. And so, yeah, it's there are a couple of these weddings where, you know, I kind of felt like, okay, I can learn a lot more from it. Be as prepared as you can. I like to always overshoot and bring as much gear as I can, like bring as much as I can so that I feel like it's my cushion. It's safe for me, you know? Yeah. Sometimes it may come in handy. That's for sure.
Oh, I know. It's crazy because when you're first starting out, you don't know what you don't know in terms of conditions. A lot of the videos when they're talking about gear, they don't talk about, oh, it could be 110 degrees and your camera can shut off, or it could be extremely humid where you're shooting and your lenses are fogged up internally and you can't like shoot. And so I know, like I was talking to a wedding planner and she was like, yeah, there was this guy who was really awesome to work with, but then on the actual wedding, his battery died during the ceremony. And then he couldn't shoot anymore, or like the camera stopped working. And as a filmmaker, I mean, obviously that would be just devastating, but like it really affects planners recommending you and things like that. So it's like, man, yeah, always. I knew a photographer at one point who would bring a whole separate camera body just like in the car. Like he bought a whole separate 5D Mark II at the time and just kept it in the car every wedding just in case his camera broke. Now, I don't do that. And I don't think for filmmakers, it's as necessary because we already show up with 3 or 4 cameras. But if you're just starting out, you may be thinking, oh, one camera's enough. I can kind of shoot solo. But I would just say for buffer's sake, you should always at least have a second camera, even if you're not using it. Because there's been times where one of my cameras has overheated for like an hour and a half. And if I didn't have another camera in my Pelican case to just take out immediately, I'd be toast, literally and figuratively.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But
yeah, I have that too. Yeah, that's for sure.
Gear's fun until it's not, until you're like, oh shoot.
Absolutely.
No, but horror stories are a good time. Well, as we kind of close things out, is there anything you kind of wanted to add in terms of maybe certain things that you just felt were game changers in this last 2 years that we haven't talked about, that being in the position you're in, being semi-part-time, semi-full-time, has there been anything that just quick little lightning round of things that people could either gear or even books that you've read, even if they're not wedding related, that have just helped a lot in the season of your life, or just anything that could be helpful to people?
I mean, obviously, as a Christian, you know, there are some books that have been helpful for me in my understanding. I think we talked a little about work earlier. So one of the books that actually shaped my understanding about who I am as a Christian and what I do that's important is Every Good Endeavor by Tim Keller. It's a fantastic book. So it's an awesome book. I love it. And that's been really, really helpful for me to shape me, you know, as a wedding filmmaker, you know, as whatever that I do, that it's important to do it well, to do it competent, basically, and to do it well enough, you know, for people. And so that's crucial. I would say to you there, I guess, you know, we talk a little about just personality, being a joy to work with. That's always, you know, important. As a person, you know, everyone wants to work with someone who is fun to work with, someone who has a great personality. That has been crucial. I would say that I've seen how it has impacted my business. I don't do a lot of advertising.
Is there any like tips you could give on that of like, because I know a lot of people are self-aware enough to know that, hey, my personality isn't the best. Like, how could they improve that to make it better?
Right. I think, you know, simple things like greeting people, obviously that helps. But at the same time, being a joy to work with a lot of times, I think involves not just, you know, your small talk conversations with people. Some people are not good at that, which is fine. But I think your mannerism, when you're stressed, how do you show it? You know, how do you run around, you know, trying to help out and do things and troubleshoot for people, I think those are super crucial too. We don't always have to know how to engage in small talks. Some people are good at it, some people are not, but I think just the way you carry yourself on that day, I think that's crucial to, you know, if there's a bride that is struggling, you know, who is crying because she's so stressed out. Sometimes we don't have the words to say, but just being there, standing there, and just it's comforting to her. Sometimes people see that. And so just I think your mannerism helps a lot to help people understand who you are, to allow people to see who you are, whether you are someone that they want to work with. If you're constantly trying to direct people and try to be bossy about everything, I think that would come to jeopardize some of your relationships. So a lot of times that's what I want to make sure that I'm always available for people to help out in whatever areas possible, always over deliver. And some of the things that I try to do with building relationships too is just doing more things for some of the vendors, you know, try to connect with some of the venues, shooting some free branding for them, some free branding videos for them, basically just to connect with them. And so I've seen how it has helped me a lot in my business, just growing it, that I don't do a lot of Facebook advertising or Instagram advertising. I seldom do all that. In fact, everything that I do, all my brides and clients right now are simply referrals from vendors, from venues, and brides that I've worked with in the past. So,
man, that speaks volumes to just personality and character, like what you're talking about. And I just had another light bulb moment. We talk so much about making films and business and marketing, but it really seems like we're talking about, like, if you have this personality thing down, all the other things matter far less because it's just built on referrals. So my whole idea is, because there's so many people that I know that I've talked to personally that are like, I've tried all the tips of not being stressful on the wedding day or being calm or whatever, but still my personality, I'm just not able to get those referrals. And what I even think about is that I haven't really heard is the importance of, if you're self-aware enough to know that personality is one of your biggest struggles in terms of really connecting with people on the day and having a firm experience with them, like a good experience, I would even say we should be talking way more about the importance of counseling and therapy for those things, and not to just be like, oh, this is how I was raised, or I'm just kind of socially awkward, because I'm of the firm belief that everyone has built in within them to be drawn to people and to have people like them and to also serve other people. And so what, even more than that new piece of gear, what you may want to invest in if you do struggle with personality is going to therapy, going to counseling. If you are a Christian, a lot of times that's offered at the church. If you're not, you could go to therapy. And I'm almost convinced, because you're not, Andy, you're not the only person I've talked to recently who has grown so significantly just because they have a good personality. And I don't think we see someone with a good personality and we say, oh, they're lucky, they're blessed to have that, that can never be me. But it's actually a skill like anything else. And the best way to tone it, other than books and things like that, is just to go to therapy and be honest and say, hey, I'm a business owner. I feel like I really struggle connecting with people, and help me with that. And I'm almost convinced that if you spent, I don't know, $1,000, $500, or whatever, even if it was plugged in with your church, it would help your business tremendously.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's super crucial.
Yeah. So everyone after this is going to be like, well, thanks, David and Andy. Now I'm signed up for a year of therapy, which I fully condone. So I think that'd be amazing.
Absolutely.
Well, man, that was, I think that was a good note to end it on. Did you have anything else, or you think you're good with things to add?
I'm good. I think, you know, I'm really excited about where my business is heading. Hopefully, you know, this will continue to improve. I mean, obviously there are seasons where it may be slower and stuff like that, but I think, you know, keep remembering what you are doing this for, you know, keep understanding your goal, your vision. Yeah, I think I'm leaning a lot on that. You know, there are days where it's hard, there are days where it's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to edit, but, you know, remembering what you're doing and that you're in the business of creating joy for people. I think that's something that I'm consistently going to build, and I hope that, you know, as my business continue to grow, maybe it may become more business minded at some point in time. I think it's inevitable, but at the same time, you know, just trying to tap onto that as much as possible. And, you know, it's okay to not be paid equally in every single wedding the way that you want it to be. You know, sometimes I'm willing to do some cheap weddings just because I connect well with some of these couples or it's this awesome venue. You know, I'm willing to do a lot of that. I'm willing to give more. And so just for the sake of bringing joy for people.
Alrighty, guys. Well, that is today's episode. And just as a reminder, the Profitable Filmmaker Course, How to Make $100,000 a Year as a Wedding Filmmaker, the complete step-by-step system to do that in any market, any location, any economy, is live right now and only for a limited time. So make sure you enroll, check out all the rad mentorship components, and go to the webpage that's in the show notes below, because on that page, there's so much more information about every single module, every single thing that I teach in the course, bunch of testimonials from people where you can just see, hey, what are other people getting from the course? There's video testimonials, there's written testimonials, all the things. So definitely check out that webpage because it has way more content than I can possibly go over here. But if you're interested in that 100K goal, definitely check it out. And yeah, also just talking to Andy was so life-giving. I love how he's running his business. I can't wait to see him move forward in his career. I think he has such a bright future ahead of him. And if this conversation encouraged you, specifically if Andy encouraged you, go check out his links for his social media below. Send him an encouraging message. I just really want this community to be built on encouragement, to encourage one another filmmakers. Because, I mean, think about whenever you make a film and you just get a like, oh, that was awesome. That always feels so good. So if you got a lot from this podcast, definitely drop him a message and just say thank you. Alrighty, guys. Well, until the next podcast, I'll catch you guys later.